Thank you, Dave. This afternoon, I'm going to be speaking about someone that we don't really often hear about. He had a big part to play in the Bible, but we don't hear about him often enough. I went on the UCG.org website to see how many sermons were there about him, and there were only four out of thousands. But still, he's a very important person. Can you, any of you, guess who I'm thinking about? And it's not Jabez. It's not Jabez. That's next time. It's Jonathan. Saul's son, Jonathan. And what I'm going to be speaking about today is the three characters of Jonathan's friendship with David. And we can take these in our own lives to as examples to emulate with our friends. Now, we know that Jonathan was King Saul's son and really should have been. If Saul had done what he was supposed to do and followed God, Jonathan would have been next on the throne. He was next in line. But he knew that that wasn't going to take place, yet it didn't bother him. He still loved David and supported him. And he had a lot of God's character in him as well. And while his father was bent on destroying David, he was bent on protecting him and helping him. We'll start in, you don't have to turn there, I'll go ahead and read these scriptures, and they're all going to be in the New King James Version. 1 Samuel 17:57. Then, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that is Goliath, when he chopped his head off after he hit him with the stone in the forehead and killed him, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So I can imagine Saul didn't have the courage. And what I find interesting about this, and I didn't realize this until I did a little study on this, the only two people in the Israelite army that had weapons of war were Saul and Jonathan. They had swords and spears. Everyone else had whatever they could bring from their house, hatchets and things. So when David went to fight Goliath and they tried to give him the armor, it was either Saul's armor or Jonathan's. I think it was probably most likely Saul's, but I could be wrong on that. So the next thing you know, here comes David, the little sheep herder, and he's got Goliath's, he's holding him up probably by his hair, and he's still dripping blood. It's a fresh kill. So you'd think Saul would be happy about that, but he wasn't. He was just in just a fury of anger got over him. And then we read after that, 1 Samuel 18:1-2. What we should learn from this is, do we have the same love for our friends that Jonathan had for David? You know, a lot of times at work we get passed over, you know, our friends get the promotion, we don't get it. Are we happy for them, or are we bent on being angry because we thought we should have had the promotion? 1 Samuel 18:1-2. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. He was going to keep him there as a valiant soldier. And what I find interesting is he wanted to keep him there, but he actually, his real motive was to have the Philistines kill him so Saul could still be, you know, the king of Israel. Then number two, Jonathan recognized David's potential and obvious destiny, and he wasn't secure about it. I went back and read, this is before the incident with Goliath and David, and Jonathan, he probably would have been quite capable to be the next king after Saul, if Saul had done what he was supposed to do. He lived for God. He believed him. He knew of his power. And in 1 Samuel 13:19, this is before Saul before David killed Goliath. Well, this goes back to why there were only two people in the army that had weapons of war. In 1 Samuel 13:19, it states, "Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears." So they were basically an unarmed army, so to speak, compared to their adversary, the Philistines. Jonathan knew God had called David to be Israel's next king, and he supported him. He supported him 110%. And then in 1 Samuel 18:7-8, now this really got to Saul also, and you'd think he would have been happy about it. "So the women sang as they danced and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands.'" And you'd think he'd be happy. There was a, you know, they'd won the war. They'd won that battle. They were winning all these battles, actually. In verse 8, "Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David tens thousands, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?'" So Saul the whole time was always worried about himself, his kingship that he actually lost because of being unfaithful to God. And he even tried to go so far as to get David, even though he hated him, he wanted David to marry one of his daughters. And 1 Samuel 18:17-18, "Then Saul said to David, 'Here's my oldest daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul thought, 'Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him.'" So it wasn't even because he cared for his daughter. He didn't care for David. He just cared for himself. And being a true friend, do we care for ourselves? I mean, that's the natural instinct, the human nature. Do we care for ourselves, or are we given of ourselves? When we look at Jesus Christ, he was the ultimate friend. He gave his life a torturous, horrendous death. And I went back, and there was a little YouTube video about Jordan Peterson. And I don't know if he's a Christian or not, whatever. He doesn't really, he stays in the smart place. He doesn't let people know. It's just, that's, you know, not his thing. But as a psychologist, he gave a really interesting profile on the tragic death of Christ. He really analyzed it, and it was really thought-provoking. How they couldn't have probably tormented him more than they did and tortured him before they killed him. So anyhow, when Saul wanted David to marry his daughter, which he didn't marry her, but he married Michal later on, this was David's response. "So David said to Saul, 'Who am I and what is my life for my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king?'" He didn't even put himself up on that pedestal. And then we look at Jonathan as a man of faith himself. And this was even before David and Goliath incident too. 1 Samuel 14:1. When Jonathan defeats the Philistines. Now just remember, he's the only one that has weapons of war, him and his dad. "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, who was his armor bearer, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side.' But he did not tell his father." Now where the Philistines were in this area over there, it was high cliffs and it was mountain strength. It would have taken some major mountain hiking skills to climb these mountains to get to the Philistines. And when they got there, just with what Jonathan had, they killed 20 Philistines. And that was when they were all in within a half mile radius. So they weren't spread out. They were all in this little half mile area, and they took care of business. And what I found interesting too, the person that went with Jonathan, his armor bearer, when he mentioned to the armor bearer what he was going to do, he was really a true friend, and he really believed in Jonathan's ability to do it. And I think he probably had knowledge of God, and he probably believed in him also. He said, hey, wherever you go, I'm going to go. I don't care if there's 1,500, 1,000, whatever. Let's do this thing. And there's not a lot talked about him either. And then 1 Samuel 19, this is 1 through 14. You can go ahead and read. I don't have time to read the whole thing. But during all this time, you'd think Saul would be happy about David and happy about the successful endeavors of Israel and the army. Yet he persecutes David. And at one time, Jonathan went to Saul, his father, and said, you know, Dad, what has he done to you? He's done nothing but right. You know, we're winning all these wars, and why do you have this against him? You know, he's on our side. And it seemed like the more Jonathan was siding with David, the angrier Saul got too. And then in chapter 9, or verse 9 of 1 Samuel 19, verse 9, now, the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing music. He's just, you know, soothing the king, and he's being there to be a friend to him, to help him, really. But then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but it slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall, so David fled and escaped that night. Then verse 11, Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, this is Saul's daughter who he did end up marrying, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, put a cover of goat's hair for its head, and covered it with clothes. So when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's here, but he's sick. So even Saul's daughter has turned against him in a sense and is sticking up for David. Saul must have been incensed, but the bottom line is, he never repented, he never did what he was supposed to do, and he never gave the reverence to God and God's power. He should have been a true and faithful servant, but it wasn't in his character. And then in 1 Samuel 23, 16 through 17, 1 Samuel 23, 16 and 17, this is when Jonathan protects David one of the times. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father knows that. So Saul's not stupid. He knows everything he's doing is just turned against him, but he's just so bent on that human nature in him that he was a miserable soul. And then we read also that Jonathan and David made a covenant there in 1 Samuel 20, 14 through 17 and through 42. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but then after all this had gone on, Jonathan and David made a covenant of friendship and peace that was to last through their descendants. So basically, the only thing that Jonathan asked of David is, down through the lines, as we progress through history, just, you know, take care of my family. Don't have my family put to death or put them to death. So the three things that Jonathan had with the love for David, and we should have for our brethren. Jonathan had the love for David no matter what. He recognized David's potential and obvious destiny, even though he had probably that same destiny, and he probably could have done as good a job as David, I guess, if he was on God's side. And Jonathan was a man of faith himself. So let's all try to remember, in this world where friends are hard to come by, we have to stick together and we have to be friendly. Even in the church, we know in the later days there's going to be some that are going to bicker and argue and talk bad about each other. And we really need to stay focused to God, and we need to be Bible study, fasting, and in prayer. And we need to be as close to God as possible, because the days are approaching that are going to be more evil than we've ever seen.